Joshua 6, verse 1. Some of you, you might be familiar with this story. Some of you, this might be the very first time you've ever heard it. The Israelites are moving into the promised land. But it won't just be given. There's battles to fight. Joshua 6, verse 1 says this, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." Jericho, they had shut their walls, they had shut their gates because they had heard of Israel. They had heard that Israel was coming. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord." So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. I feel like there's a wall around some hearts today. And I just want to encourage you, if you feel that, if you're sitting in here and you just sat through the worship, and you sat through the communion, and you kind of are looking around, and you're seeing other people experiencing something that you're not, I just want to tell you, there might be a wall around your heart today. And I just want to tell you, he wants to break that wall. He wants to break that wall today. He wants you to feel him. He wants you to hear him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to experience his full power, his full presence. He wants that for you. And some of you, you're sitting here and you just went through the worship and you're thinking, "I knew it. I knew this wasn't going to work. I knew this wasn't going to change things." You're just on day one. 7 days. Will you keep coming back for 7 days? Will you be faithful? Will you be obedient? Will you listen to him for 7 days? Will you keep walking the same path? Will you stay faithful for 7 days? Will you wait for the breakthrough? Will you wait for the walls to come down? This was unconventional warfare. This wasn't a normal way to fight war. It wasn't then, it isn't now. But what did they do? They honored the word of the Lord. They kept going. Verse 14, it says, the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. Verse 15, but it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, and they marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only, they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, on day 7, they went 7 more times. Will you keep going? Will you keep walking? When it doesn't make sense, when everyone inside the city is looking out at you and they're mocking and they're laughing and they're ridiculing and say, what are these guys doing? There's going to be people in this world that will look at what you're doing, look at what you're trying, look at how you're living. They will mock you. They will ridicule you. They will laugh at the decisions you're making. But will you keep walking? On that day, they marched around 7 times, and the 7th time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Verse 20, it says, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. And then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, donkey with the edge of the sword. There was a victory that day. But for 7 days, that wall didn't move. Let's pray. God, we just pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. We ask right now in this moment that your Holy Spirit would just move, that you would just be building up faith, that you would just encourage people's hearts today. Lord Jesus, I pray that somebody would keep walking, that they wouldn't give up, that they wouldn't stop, that they'd keep circling, that they would stay faithful, and that all of a sudden that the wall would come down for them. I pray right now in this moment that walls would come down in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would have your way in us, that we would invite you in, that you would abide within us, that we would honor you, that we would honor your presence. And Lord Jesus, I pray for your Holy Spirit to come upon me right now, that it would be your words that are spoken in this room today, and that it'd be the words that you want spoken to encourage somebody that believes this wall between you and them, between them and victory, will not break. If they believe that today, I pray that everything would be changed in a moment, that the walls would be crushed, that they would fall down flat at the name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we praise you and we bless your name. Lord, we believe in this victory right now for somebody right here in this room today. Lord, we know that your word does not return void. Please, as we send it out in this moment, let it break down the walls. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It says this. Now it shall come to pass, if you, this is a condition, this is a contract. The Lord's telling them, it shall come to pass if you. They're stepping into a covenant. They're stepping into a contract here. If you. It's not going to come to pass no matter what. It doesn't matter what you do, how you act, what you say. No. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord. What is this? All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. What is this? That's favor. I told you last week, God loves everyone, but he favors the obedient. The blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Doesn't matter if you're in the city or in the country. If you're obedient to him, there's a blessing. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, your health. Proverbs 4, go back there. When you eat of the word of God, there is health to your flesh. There's healing to your bones. Eat the word of the Lord. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Our elder Justin, he was just testifying to that. He's seen an increase. He's, you know, he doesn't have any herds or cattle. Like, he's not a cowboy. You saw how he was dressed. He didn't even have a cool hat. But you know what the Bible's saying. There's an increase when you're obedient to him. You look good in a cowboy hat. I believe that. Blessed shall you be. There will be an increase. He has seen an increase financially in his home because he's been obedient to the Lord. There's favor that follows you. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. This is something we have to understand also. Justin believed he was blessed when he was making whatever the number, when he was making X amount, and he still believes he's the same amount of, like, he knows he's been blessed even more, but his mindset hasn't changed. When he was making that, those first couple years, what he was making when they started tithing by faith, he believed that he was blessed, that he had been blessed. It's a mindset. Being blessed is a mindset. And so he believed that he had more than enough to begin to give by faith and be obedient to the Lord to tithe, to give the first fruit. And so he believed it when he was making that. He told you, he testified, he has seen an increase in his home. His mindset has not changed. He knows he is still blessed. In fact, he has been double and triply blessed. And so his mindset never changed. So no matter where you are in life, begin to take on that mindset and realize, I'm blessed. I am blessed. If you make $24,000, you are in the top 10% of the world right now, of the world. You're blessed. And some of you are thinking, that's not enough. Start to change your mindset. Start to speak it out. As you begin to speak, it will change your mindset. Your words have the power of life and death in them. Your words have the power of blessing and cursing within them. And so as you speak, so your mind will be transformed. And so as you begin to speak by faith, what his word says, what his word declares, what his word says about you, you may not feel it. You may not really believe it right away. But as you begin to say it, it's going to shift what's happening within your soul. Your mind will be transformed and renewed by his word. That's what will take place. Yesterday, I wasn't feeling like I was in a great place. I wasn't feeling like I was in a great headspace. But I just made this choice. I said, I just need to do something. And so I went downstairs, and I just got on this treadmill, and I started walking, and I pulled out this iPad, and I started reading scripture. And there was a lot of things I could have done. I could have listened to music. I could have watched a movie. I could have watched a TV show, and I could have just kind of turned my mind off, and that would make the walking and the exercise a little bit easier, right? Like, that's why we do it, because we're just like, I don't want to feel what I'm going through right now. My body hates this. I just kind of want to sit and watch. But if I just watch, maybe I won't think about what my body is going through right now. And so I was tempted in that moment to just put on a show or put on a movie and just kind of turn my mind off to what was going on. But instead, I opened up scripture, and I felt the Lord say, John 8. And so I just went to John 8. And then I was all alone in the basement. I had the whole thing to myself. And so I just started to read it out loud. And as I began to read it out loud, those walls that I described in Jericho that I felt were just like, that I couldn't get through. Like I had no access to the Lord. All of a sudden, as I began to read the scripture out loud, how did I start? I just kind of reading. But as I kept going, I started to feel what the Holy Spirit was doing within me. Because as I was reading it and speaking and declaring his word out loud, the walls began to crumble. And all of a sudden, what felt like, man, I don't have access to the Lord. I can't even feel his presence right now. All of a sudden, the walls started to break as I began to speak his word out loud. And everything came tumbling down. And I might have started slow, and I might have kind of forced myself into it. But that's how we got to do it sometimes. Don't let your feelings lead you. Choices lead, and then the feelings will follow. I made a choice to get on that treadmill. I made a choice to start reading scripture. I made a choice to read it out loud. And as I did, the feelings began to follow. And I didn't feel like doing any of that at first, but all of a sudden, here I am 10 minutes in, and I'm not just kind of going at it anymore. I'm full out just preaching the word of God to nobody down there but my own soul. Like, that's what you can do. You can preach to yourself. You can preach yourself out of the rut. You can preach yourself out of depression. You can preach yourself out of the wall. I want to walk you out of the wall today. I want to walk you right through the wall and into victory today. And it just starts with reading his word. It just starts with declaring it. Look at this. Do I got the scripture up here? Give me Deuteronomy again. Verse 7. Where are we at? I think we're at verse 7. Actually, go to verse 6. Did I not put that one in for you guys? Did I? Oh, there we go. You're good. Here we go. Join me. You guys ready for this? You're about to preach your soul out of the rut. If you've been feeling it, you're about to preach your soul out of the rut. Would you just stand up? Stand up. We're working out. We're exercising today. You didn't come here feeling like exercising. I didn't either yesterday, but it was good for me, and I felt better after. I want you to feel better when you leave here. I want you to feel better than when you came in. I want you to experience his Holy Spirit, and that's what he's going to do for you today. You ready for this? Where are you guys starting me? Verse 5? All right, verse 5. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, pause right there. I know some of you are doing it, and I know some of you, it's like that movie Elf when everybody is singing at the end of the movie except the cranky old dad. I know there's one cranky old dad in here that's just like, you're kind of moving your lips and you're just like, do it. Just do it. It'll change your life. Here we go. Where are we at? Verse 8? Verse 9. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to all your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Pause. What did we just say right there? You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You're the lender, not the borrower. That's for his people. You're his people. You're adopted in by the blood of Jesus. You're grafted in to Israel. We didn't just say, goodbye, Israel, we're the church, we don't need you anymore. No. He said, church, you're grafted in. Gentiles, you're adopted in by the blood of my son. And so now, those promises are your promises. And so maybe you've been the borrower. You can change it today. Financial peace. That's all we're going to walk you through. We're going to walk you through what it looks like to stop being the borrower and to become the lender. Let's keep going here. Look at this. Look at this next one here. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Pause, pause, pause. You're going to be the head and not the tail. You don't want to be a tail. You know where the tail resides on a horse? That's disgusting. You ain't the tail. Let the world be the tail. You're his people. You're his son. You're his daughter. You're the lender. You're not the borrower. You're the head. You're not the tail. We're never going to take a loan to buy a building. I believe the Lord gave me a word. I believe before revival was even born, at the very beginning, he told me, I'm going to give you a building. In fact, I believe he's going to give us many buildings. We're going to plant churches all over this city, and we're going to go and plant churches wherever he calls us to. And we're going to teach people what it means to be the head and not the tail, to be the lender and not the borrower, to be a son, to be a daughter, and to not be a slave anymore. We're not a slave to this world. Here we go. Let's start right there at verse 13 again. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Wait a second. I told you, I started out just kind of like, okay, God, like I'll read John 8. But as I kept going, I just kept feeling in my spirit. I kept feeling him rising up. And so here we go. What I want you to do here. Take us back. Let me see here. Take us back to verse 12. You're waking up now. Like you're preaching to yourself now. Let me hear your preacher voice. You ready? Let's say this like we mean it. Verse 12. Let's say it like we mean it. Preach to your soul. Awake my soul. Rise. Let's go. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Well, you did good. I felt the Holy Spirit just in that moment right there. Yeah, go ahead, preacher. You did good preaching. You did good. Tell somebody next to you, you preach good. Tell somebody to the left and to the right, you preach good. You can sit down now. That was a good workout. I'm telling you, you guys were preaching good. I know when the Holy Spirit comes in the room, one of the physical signs he shows me is I get a numbness in my hand. It's the weirdest thing. It happened the very first service of revival. I remember getting up and preaching, and the Holy Spirit just came upon me. There's an anointing that abides in you. The Holy Spirit abides in you, but there's also an anointing that will come upon you in a moment. And he'll show up in power. He'll show up in signs. He'll show up in miracles. He'll show up in a physical manifestation. And some of you might be feeling that right now. Maybe that you felt that as we were preaching. You might have felt some kind of numbness or tingling, or you might have felt a fire, a warmth in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the anointing coming upon you. His Spirit, his presence moves. I'll never forget that first Sunday preaching that revival on Easter, and it surprised me. It came out of nowhere, and I remember telling the people, I can't feel my hands. I don't know what's going on, but I believe it's the Holy Spirit. And every time, whenever he comes back, I pray, Lord, please don't leave. I just want to be in his presence. Just keep seeking him. Even on those days you don't feel like it, even when you feel like there's a wall between you and him, I promise you, if you keep walking, you're going to get to day 7. And on day 7, you're going to walk that first lap, and you're going to want to quit. That's when the devil comes after you. The devil comes after you right before the breakthrough. The devil comes after you and wants to discourage you and tear you down right before you're about to break through the wall. And if you would just keep pressing forward, if you would just keep taking another step by faith and just go that second lap, go that third lap, and go and go and go until you get to seven, what's going to happen? All of a sudden, you see the victory. All of a sudden, you see the walls come tumbling down, and you're reminded in that moment, oh yeah, he told me I'm the head and not the tail. That's what those people were holding on to in that moment. There's promises all throughout the Old Testament that you'll be the head and not the tail, that you'll be the lender and not the borrower. When they were going into the promised land, that they were going to receive cities that they did not build, that they would get wells that they did not dig. That's a promise. That's a promise for the Israelites. That's a promise for our church. We're going to receive buildings that we did not build, that we did not take a debt, that we did not take a loan for, that other people built, that the world built for us, and it comes bought and paid for. Because what happens? You walk in obedience and favor follows. Keep walking in obedience. Keep walking in trust. Keep walking in faith. Keep walking it out in your marriage. You might be in a season right now in your marriage where you feel like, no, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't know what I'm going through. You haven't even hit day seven yet. Shut up and keep walking. Don't stop walking. I know that sounds harsh. Some of you are like, you don't know what I'm going through. I know what his word says. And he's faithful and true, and he always comes through. Don't stop walking, because you're going to see a miracle on the other side. Your marriage is going to be transformed. You don't know what's going on, Pastor. You don't know how long my kids have been away from the church. You haven't hit day seven yet. The breakthrough's coming. Pastor, you don't know what my finances look like. You don't understand. I can't give. Give. Give and watch him show up. It will build your faith. It will encourage you. You don't know the sickness I got in my body. Start speaking his word over your body. Start speaking. He's given you dominion. Read Proverbs 4. When your body, when your mind begins to lie to you, you speak the truth through your spirit, through his Holy Spirit, and you pull out God's word. Go to Proverbs 4. You pull out God's word. Woo! Coming on me again, Lord. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear. What are we doing? Lean in. Stop leaning out. The devil wants you to lean out from his word. The devil wants you to decline. No. You're not declining. You're inclining. You're moving in. You're pressing into his word right now. When you get into the room on a Sunday morning, are you declining? Are you checked out? Are you like, no, this isn't for me? Or are you leaning in? Are you inclining? Are you saying, Lord, I want more of you? Are you giving him your all in worship? And you might not feel like it. You might be like, I don't want to be that weirdo putting my hands up in the air. Neither did my wife and I when we started this church. Those were not the kind of people we were. In fact, we looked at people that kind of worshiped a little more expressively and charismatically, and here's a moment of repentance for us. Sorry, I'm repenting on your behalf right now. We would look around at church and be like, that's kind of weird. That's kind of strange. And we were just good Midwestern folks. We grew up in a church where when you worship, you just put your hands in your pockets. You don't even mouth the words. Just kind of stand there and just stare back at that worship leader who's given their all to worship the Lord. And then at the end, when you walk out, go up to that worship leader and be like, that was a great performance. That was awesome. It's not a performance. It's not. Repent of that. We had to repent of that. No. We participate in worship. We honor him through our worship. We honor him because he's worthy through our hands, through dropping to the knees, through falling on our face, through our song, through a shout, through the clapping of the hands. That's how we honor him, because we care more about what he says, what he prescribes for worship, than what the world says. And so that Midwestern worship, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Get out, Midwestern worship. No. If that's you right now, guess what? This last song, when the worship team comes up, if you give him your all, you're going to feel the walls come down. If you give him your all, if you stop holding back, I promise you, you're going to feel those walls getting torn down, because that's what he does. He comes into the room. He comes into the room, and he meets you there when you honor him. That's how we honor him. It's all throughout Scripture. He has a prescription for worship. Incline your ear to what he says worship should look like, Not what your dad, not what your grandpa, not what your uncles, not what your aunts, not whoever said worship was, not whoever modeled worship for you. In fact, and in this house, what are we doing right now? We're trying to teach the kids in this house what worship looks like. And so some people, I know you guys see some of these rowdy kids up here, and we invite them into worship. There's a lot of churches you can go to, and they got worship for, they got kids ministry that happens the whole service. But for these first two or three songs, we invite kids into worship because we want to teach the kids in the house what worship is and why we do it. That worship is warfare. That worship tears down walls. And that when we go, what were they doing? They were worshiping when they were walking. They were worshiping when they were walking, when they were blowing the trumpets, when they were shouting for joy. They were worshiping the Lord. We want to teach the kids in this house what worship looks like. And so if this isn't the house for you, if you're like, no, I like my worship nice and quiet and hands in the pocket and no rowdy kids running around and jumping and being crazy. Like, what are we doing in this house? We're teaching our kids. And so, yeah, what happens when you're teaching people? There's going to be some bad moments. When you're teaching a kid how to ride the bike, are they going to fall? Yeah. When you're teaching kids how to worship, are they going to do really weird dances sometimes? Yeah, sure, whatever. Like, one of their dances was like stomping on each other's feet. So what are me up here? We're pastoring the kids in the house also. Come alongside us. Help us pastor the kids in this house. Teach them. Teach them, hey, you can dance. Don't stomp on your brother's feet, all right? Don't do that. Or don't do, last week one of the kids, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say whose kid it was. It wasn't mine. They're all dancing up here, and he did like a, I don't even know how I would describe it, but maybe like a fart dance? Like he was acting like he was farting? I don't know. It was, and so I kind of pulled him aside. I said, hey, I want you to jump, dance, and put your hands in the air. Let's not do the fart dance anymore, all right? And he was like, oh, okay. Like, okay. We're just teaching the kids in this house. Carrie had a great word for us on Wednesday at the encounter night. She had this vision of seeing these kids like coming into worship. And then when they get dismissed for their lesson time and they go down to learn and hang out together, she said she just saw this vision of them walking out last Sunday. And she said, like, the Lord just showed her that this is an army. We're not just playing church. We're not building up consumers. We're building up warriors. There's gifts in this house. You have spiritual gifts. It says that in 1 Corinthians. There's people in here, you don't even realize the spiritual gift that's on your life. If you'll begin to spend time with the Holy Spirit and begin to ask him to reveal to you what he's got for you, what are the gifts that he's given you, and how does he want you to use that to build his kingdom, he's going to start to show you and teach you. The church is for the building up and equipping of the saints. Not for the providing a nice, clean, 60-minute service so you can get in and get out and get to brunch. No, it's for the building and the equipping of saints. So when we offer classes, when we offer groups, when we offer time to worship together, this isn't just so people will come in and be like, oh, that was a nice service. Oh, we got out on time. Good, I can get to brunch. Oh, that was a good performance. It's not a performance. It's not about a performance. It's about his presence. We honor his presence because he's in the room. If you've given your life to Jesus, you need to know this. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. That should change radically the way you live your life. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. One John, chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot also, loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. I told you in Deuteronomy, what were they laying out? It was a contract. You're loved. You're saved by grace. But if you want to walk in favor, if you want to walk in the blessing, it means you need to invite the Holy Spirit in for a transformation, a complete change, a complete overhaul from the inside out. Because God doesn't just care about the outside of the cup. What good is it to clean the outside of the cup but leave the inside of the cup filthy? It's disgusting. No, no, no. He wants to clean you from the inside out. That's what he wants to do. When we love God and keep his commandments, as we begin to love him, as we begin to spend time with him, as we begin to get to know him and care about what his word says and what his word prescribes, begin to look at his word as a prescription. I never even read you Proverbs 4. I got off onto a side sermon. I was telling you about health. Preach this to yourself. Look at this, Proverbs 4, verse 20. I just wanted you to have to flip from the New Testament back to the Old Testament. Practice and learn how to use your Bible. Go back and forth, okay? My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep the word in front of you. As I kept the word in front of me on that treadmill yesterday, everything began to change. Everything began to transform. What are you putting in front of your eyes? What you put in front of your eyes is going to affect what's inside of your soul, your mind, your feelings, your emotions. You feel bad. You feel great. You're kind of depressed. You're kind of down. What are you putting in front of your eyes? What are you listening to? What are you letting into the temple of God? Are you letting in filth? Or are you letting in worship? Are you letting in praise? Are you letting in the word? That will affect your body physically, and it will affect your soul. What you let in changes you on the inside. And so if you're putting in his word is medicine, it says. Keep them in the midst of your heart, right there in the middle. Keep his word in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. You like life, right? It's okay to like life. Like someday we're going to leave this world, or Jesus is going to come back, and it's going to be great, it's going to be better. But life is a gift. He's given you this life. Enjoy it. It's a gift. And it's okay to want it to last longer. How does it last longer? Here, he's telling you right here. Solomon tells us, his words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. If you're suffering, if you're sick, if you're not well, begin to just eat his word. His word is medicine. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You either got good issues coming out of your heart or you got bad issues. What are you putting into your heart? What are you putting before your eyes? What are you putting into your ears? What are you speaking out over your life? What are you listening to? Are you listening to songs that talk constantly about sex? No wonder you struggle with lust. Are you listening to music and watching movies that talk about and glorify sex and violence? No wonder you struggle with thoughts of lust and violence, or you struggle with the language that comes out of your mouth. He wants to change you from the inside out. Begin to make a choice. It's just like with your physical health. When you're saying, I need to make a change, you're saying, I got to start working out. If you know you need to start working out spiritually, if you know what's within you isn't right, it's disgusting, it's broken, you feel convicted all the time, you feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, I got something better for you. I want to free you from this, because you know that you're not really free. You're a slave to your sin. That's what Paul tells us in Romans, that you're actually a slave to your sin. What you thought was freedom is actually bondage. And he wants to set you free. He wants to deliver you. Let him. Begin to make choices that go against those feelings and begin to make a change, and let your body, let your mind, let your soul be transformed as you eat of God's word. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Why is everything always going wrong in my life? Why is everything bad? Why it doesn't seem like I got God's favor on my life? That's not really fair. I don't think that's fair. It is fair. I told you last week, people say all the time in the church world, oh, favor ain't fair. That's a very common expression that preachers like to use. Favor is fair. It's not fair to those who are disobedient. It's not fair to those who walk in disobedience, to the sons of disobedience, to the sons who walk by the spirit of error and not the spirit of truth. They're no longer sons, they're slaves. You're right. Favor is not fair to those who choose to walk in disobedience. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Worship team, would you guys come up as we get ready to close here? Remove your foot from evil. If that's you today, if you just want to take that first step, you got a chance to do that today. Our ministry team's going to be up here. Some of our pastors will be up here. If you need prayer, if you want to just say, Jesus, I want to make you Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, I want to invite you in. If you're not sure if you've ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you want to be filled afresh with Him, with His presence, there's a moment you can do that right here, right now. We call it ministry time here at Revival. There's nothing magic about it. It's the power of His presence. He comes and meets you here as you take a step of obedience when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and says, get up and move. So right now, would you just stand up as we get ready to worship? Worship ministry team, would you come forward? If you're sick of being sick and tired, if you're sick of feeling like the walls are never coming down, if you're sick of feeling like you just keep going back to the same sin over and over again, like a dog returning to the vomit, if you're tired of that, He's got freedom for you in this moment. He wants to meet you here. He wants to meet you in this place. Come meet me up here at the altar. Come meet me at the altar. You want to do that one? You want to do meet me at the altar? You want to do that one? Is that too hard? Okay. I'm sorry, you guys. I want that for you today. Don't miss this opportunity. I'm just a gunslinger today. Just throwing all kinds of stuff out. Church, we love you. He loves you. If you want the walls broken off today, that's what He's got for you in this moment. Don't miss this opportunity. Would you just close your eyes? Close your eyes really quick. If you're sick and tired, if you want the walls coming down, if you want to walk out of here in freedom today, if you think, man, this is a word straight from the Lord to me, I needed to hear this, just raise your hand. Let me just see. Raise your hand. If this was for you today, I just want to pray over you. I want to pray over you, and if you feel like He's telling you, hey, you need to take a step of obedience and come forward for prayer, come find somebody up here today. But I want to pray right now specifically for you. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We give you all the honor, all the glory. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you would meet us at the altar as we take a step of obedience today. I pray that we would be changed as we meet you at the altar. Holy Spirit, please come upon us in power. Holy Spirit, please come upon us and meet us here. Let our lives never look the same. Let us keep walking. Day one, day two, day three, let us never quit walking because we know and we believe day seven is coming. Day seven is coming and we know you're going to show up and we know there's healing, we know there's freedom, we know there's deliverance. And all God's people shouted, hallelujah. Go ahead, shout. Let's worship, let's worship. Matt and Dina and I, we're gonna, you know what, hey church, you can have a seat for just a moment. Hey church, we love you. We do family business all the time around here, and sometimes when the Holy Spirit is prompting us, like we go and we call audibles. And we, you know, my good friend Brennan, a long time ago, he called me a gunslinger, and sometimes I just start slinging, you know, I just start doing stuff, and I'm like, all right, I like that, I'm gonna stick with that. I need you to make me a shirt, all right? But Matt came up and he had a testimony to share. And let's keep slinging the guns. I want to hear the testimony. Like, Matt, I would love for you to share that right now. Yeah. I think. Host Mike?
Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Yeah, when I walked in here today, I felt like, just felt the Holy Spirit prompt me to share this testimony about Pippin. I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago when we found out we were pregnant with Pippin, Dina and I were in a pretty hard place because we had just gone through a couple miscarriages. And, I mean, we were nervous about just if that was going to happen again. And I remember we were at the other campus where we used to meet, and Alex just invited anyone to come up, you know, that needed prayer. And I just felt, you know, the prompting from the Holy Spirit to go up there and talk to Alex about what we were going through, and just get some prayer, because, you know, we were struggling with our faith and if we were going to have another miscarriage with Pippin. And you know, so I remember one of the first things Alex asked us was if the Holy Spirit was prompting anything, any areas where we weren't being obedient. And, you know, for me, right away, that I could just feel that I wasn't, you know, as a dad and a husband, I wasn't, you know, operating under the covering of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't bringing myself in alignment just with what He calls us to do. And so, like, obedience was the big thing. Like, you know, Alex prayed for us, and we knew right then, like, we're going to get to keep Pippin. Like, she's going to be born, and she's going to be healthy. Yeah. And here she is. And
that's good.
And so we knew that right away and had abundant faith about that. But I could feel this expectation from God that, like, He was going to move and Pippin was going to be safe and healthy, but we needed to bring ourselves in alignment with His word. So
that's
what we did in 2024. We stepped into obedience in new areas, and God just shone a light on the different parts of our life where we really needed to move. And for me, what that meant is giving up, like, one of the things that was, like, the biggest part of my life for so long, and just breaking that off, and so I could step into the position He needed me to be in. So,
so good, man.
Yeah, I'd say if anyone in here is struggling with anything, whether it's miscarriage or finances or whatever it may be, like, God is greater than whatever you're going through.
Amen.
And,
that's good, man.
That's good. Yeah, He's greater than anything you're going through, and the best thing you can do today, just like Dud said at the beginning when he was talking about giving or just whatever it is that between you and the Holy Spirit, step into that position of obedience, and He will move. Just like it said in Deuteronomy, God will have abundant blessings for you, and the first step to getting there is just obedience to whatever He's calling you for. So.
That's so good, Matt. Thank you. Your testimony. Pippin. I'll never forget, like, that Sunday, like, praying with you guys and just walking through, you know, just in that short moment, just walking through some of that with you guys and just speaking faith for what I believe God wanted to do. It's one of the hardest things to do, to speak faith when you don't see it in the natural, and everything in the natural tells you no, and the devil's whispering to you, no, it's going to happen again, it's going to happen again. But to speak faith and declare it and to just believe and to come alongside you guys, and then now to see the miracle, like, that's what she is. She's a miracle. Every child, it's a miracle every time. Don't let it become familiar. Don't let it become just something don't let it become complacent, something you take for granted. It's a miracle. Boy, girl, everyone. Yeah, it's just precious. And so, man, I love you guys. I love your story. I love your scripture that you have for Pip, and we're staying right here in Proverbs. Proverbs 3. Verse 3 says this: let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, Pippin. Then you will win favor. We just can't stop talking about favor today. You will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Pippin, I feel that today in this moment. You're going to walk in his favor all the days of your life. You are. Because you have a mother and a father that will teach you and show you the right path to walk on. That will show you the path of obedience. They'll see the blessing on it. And disobedience won't even look appealing to you. What the world is walking in, it won't appeal to you because you've seen the blessing of obedience on your parents' life, your family's life. And you'll desire that all your days, Pippin. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. I believe that for you today, Pippin. I believe that today for you, Matt and Dina. You are parents that will walk along the path and your children will follow right behind you. And they'll walk a good path. They'll walk a smooth path because they walk the path of the Lord because their parents showed them. Today you've come before us, your church, your family. You've made this public declaration in this moment. I just want to ask you a couple questions. Do you commit yourselves to nurture, protect, and care for Pippin all of your days? If so, reply, I do. Do you commit yourselves to teach her the ways of Christ all of your days? If so, reply, I do. And do you commit yourselves to live lives consistent with God's word and model your faith before Pippin and Gideon all your days? If so, reply, I do. Church, this is for you. You get to stand up, making you exercise all day. It's going to be the most fit in shape church you've ever seen. A church equipped for warfare. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. We are bound together. We are one. Church, do you commit yourselves to creating a community of love and support around this family and their children? If so, reply, I do. Will you help these parents keep their commitment to guide their children as they grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with the Lord and other people? If so, reply, I do. We're going to pray a blessing over this family. Steph, would you lay hands on Dina and Pippin? I'll lay hands on Matt. And church, if you want to extend your hands out right now in this moment, you can. Father God, we just praise you in this moment. We praise you for meeting us here today. We praise you for just this opportunity to come in and to worship you, to experience you, to hear your voice. We praise you for the walls that you tore down today. And Lord Jesus, we pray a blessing over Pippin. We pray a blessing over her parents, that no wall would ever separate them from you. But if the devil ever comes to try and attack, to try to divide, they will walk in unity. And we know that your word says you command your blessing where there's unity. And this will be a house that walks in the unity of your Holy Spirit, that walks fully devoted to you, that teaches their children what it means to walk along your path, to be guided by your light, to be guided by your truth. And Jesus, we pray that you would bless Pippin, Dina, and Matt, and Gideon all the days of their lives, that you would shine your face upon them, that they would be the head and not the tail, that they'd be the lender and not the borrower. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Give this family a hand, church. Yeah. Love you guys. Hey, church. We might play a little bit more worship. If you got to get going, I know we're not a 60-minute church. We love it. Hey, if you got to get going, get out of here. If you want to stay and worship, if you still...